Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You know, the one and only Perry Goldstein. You can find her on Twitter at Perry underscore Goldstein. Perry, it's been a hot second since we've had the opportunity to chat Green Bay Packers. So great to have you back. We've got a 53-man roster set, tons of roster moves, transactions. Excited to hear your take on everything. Before we get there, how the heck are you doing?
I'm great. Andy, 1 week from the night we are recording this, exactly right now, because it is 8:38 p.m. Eastern time, there will be football on.
There will be football. We made it.
I'm great. We made it. The Packers have their roster for the 2024 season, at least as of right now. That's always going to change. You know, Goot likes to sprinkle his little magic. He also has a few, as of we're recording this, few open roster practice squad spots to fill. Yep. But we have our 53, which is super exciting. I can't wait to break this down with you and hear all your thoughts.
Yeah. So what we're going to be doing today, I want to get Perry's thoughts on that. We're also going to be doing sort of a wrap up of the entire offseason. We're going to be doing some offseason awards, which I am extremely excited about because next week we'll start getting into Packers Eagles and everything's just going to take off exponentially from there. And it's just going to be a sprint until it's basically draft season again. And then like everything from basically Joe Barry being let go up until now has been this crazy offseason where a ton has happened. So it's kind of cool to have this moment to sort of catch our breath and just look back at everything that happened this offseason, kind of review some of it, recap what we're excited about, maybe some things that didn't go according to plan. So we're going to do all of that in just a moment. Before we get there, a couple things. First of all, have to shout out Autograph, brand new app that's out there. Super exciting. I don't know if you've tried it yet, Perry Goldstein. You need to download the Autograph app. You need to do it. Exclusive content from yours truly, which of course is worth it in and of itself, but it is your one-stop shop for all things Green Bay Packers. Just did an episode out there going over the most shocking and surprising moves that the Packers made at cutdown time. So make sure to go check that out. I will have the link and the code in the description below. So again, make sure to check out the Autograph app, Perry. That is your homework assignment as soon as we are done here today. For everyone else, it is also your homework assignment. Make sure to download the Autograph app. All right. Other than that, I also wanted to get your take. So these are just quick things. Christian Welch, officially a member of the Denver Broncos active roster. There had been some rumblings that he was going to be a Baltimore Raven. He is not a Baltimore Raven. He is a Denver Bronco. It is not a practice squad signing. He is an active 53-man roster player on the Broncos. So that means four players that the Packers had on their roster made it to 53, that they released, I should say, made it to 53-man rosters, including, of course, Royce Newman, Christian Welch, Grant Dubose, and Anthony Johnson Jr. Meanwhile, Packers added two players to the practice squad. One is a familiar name, Chris Russell, who is the linebacker that they signed at the end of camp and had two really fun preseason games. Really excited that they brought him back. I thought, you know, when you get to these end of the training camp, you know, additions, it's basically just like, it's a camp body that they're throwing out there. But Russell made some really fun plays when given the opportunity in preseason. So thought that was a worthwhile signing to the practice squad. And then they signed one of my guys from the draft who they brought in for a top 30 visit. I probably wouldn't have even watched Omar Brown in the draft leading up to it had he not been in for a top 30 visit with Green Bay. But one of my favorite, like most underrated guys, he did have a pretty quiet camp in preseason in Denver, but Denver released him. They didn't bring him back to the practice squad. And now Omar Brown, a safety, by the way, from Nebraska, is on the practice squad as well. And then the biggest thing, Perry, that we need to talk about, extremely serious, Braden Narveson, number 44. What are we doing here? That's some Ty Summers-esque number. I don't know if I can.
That's a fullback number. I don't know what that is.
I don't know if I can roll with that. But your thoughts on Welch practice squad, Narveson wearing 44, any of the above?
We'll get into, I think, this a little bit more, but happy for Welch. I hope he plays. I think this decision was him saying, even if I'm back on the Packers practice squad, there's no way I'm getting any semblance of playing time given the amount of inside linebackers and the depth in Green Bay. So I'm going to take my chances elsewhere. And he probably is right. in Denver. So he had a fantastic camp. I don't know how much more he could have done.
To make
the 53. Like, I just think the room was too full. That's just like all it came down to. It's just a numbers game sometimes. So I wish him all the best. I would have loved to see him stay, but this is the business. As far as the kicker 44, it's apparently what he wore in college.
Yeah.
So that's the choice. But there's still a few more spots, like I said before, on the practice squad for Goot to go, you know, do his street pickup thing, which he has been known to go grab some pretty successful players in this time of year. So I'm excited to see what he does with those spots.
One other name to keep an eye on, Jaquan Shepherd, was another player that they brought in on a top 30 visit. He was also a player that I really liked when I went and watched the tape of him. He was with the Raiders in preseason and in camp, did not make their 53 or practice squad either. So would not shock me if in the next couple of days, maybe Jaquan Shepherd would be somebody that they took a look at again, because usually when they bring him in for the top 30 visits, there's some interest there. So we'll see if they do in fact maybe take a look at him, or if they go in a completely different direction altogether. I know you've had the opportunity, obviously, to discuss a little bit on, not a little bit, but a lot on Pax, what she said about some of, you know, the 53 decisions and everything like that. But obviously, I haven't had the opportunity to chat with you. So for our listeners here, and for the benefit of mostly me, your, you know, any big takeaways that you had from the 53 cut down, the practice squad, and I'll let you go in any direction that you want with it.
Yeah, I think listeners of Pax, what she said, have heard me say this. So apologies if you are a dual listener. If you are, thank you very much. I think this year, more than any other year, Maggie and I feel like this roster is really deep. Like, the we saw the depth over the course of the offseason a little more starkly than any other year. Maybe it's a recency bias thing, maybe, or maybe that's just what it is. And you really felt it in cutdowns. When we were doing our 53 predictions, I was like, they could go 7 wide receivers, they could go 6 inside linebackers, they could go 6 edge rushers, which is what they ended up doing. They could cut here, they could cut there. They're like, you simply had a plethora of players that deserved and earned spots on this roster. And they just simply couldn't keep them all. And it's just such a good problem to have. It's an amazing problem to have. And you hoped that all of them would come back on the practice squad. Every year you say, oh, other teams, they don't want their players. They're not paying attention to us. They don't want their players. And then all of a sudden this year, you actually watch multiple players get claimed that they waived. It's the first time that I can remember that that's actually happened. And I'm sure you and I will get into some of those players. Surprised, not surprised, being some of the guys that they waived. I just thought it was a very unique year for the Packers in those choices. Again, good problem to have, but I feel like they are in a very strong position heading into the season, a very strong team. Naturally, your wide receiver 7, your inside linebacker 5, your safety 5, like, are those really going to impact you? Hopefully not, quite frankly. Hopefully not. Hopefully they are special teamers. They are just depth pieces. However, you never know, right? Like, this is a very long season. We saw key injuries happen on their last Super Bowl run, and you just simply never know who is going to have to play. We saw Corey Ballantyne have to take meaningful snaps last season because of injuries in the secondary. You never know. So these decisions at the tail end of a 53-man roster, like, they really, really, really do matter. And maybe cutting, waving in AJJ, he ends up, you know, going off for the Giants. Maybe that's something they come to regret. We will never know. But my 50,000-foot view is, on paper, this team looks really strong from top to bottom. And I think they're going into this season in a really good place.
Yeah, I think so too. And I thought Goody put it best, where he just basically said, we had more than 53 guys that were worthy of making a 53-man roster. And it's just, what do you do? Like, the rule. And I think it was Goody who said, or I forget who it was, but like, they're basically like, It's just the rules. Like if we could, we would keep all these guys. The rules make it so that we can only keep 53. And that's just the situation that they were in. It's understandable. You hate to lose guys like Christian Welch, Anthony Johnson Jr., et cetera. But it's just sort of the name of the game. It's a compliment to Green Bay that there were so many players that other teams, you know, thought of that they would claim and put on their 53s. And I think unfortunately the practice squad's a little bit more watered down than if you had a Grant DuBose, Anthony Johnson Jr., Christian Welch, et cetera, on there. But some of it's the benefit of hindsight. You know, you might say, well, maybe they could have got Zane Anderson back on the practice squad and they could have kept Anthony Johnson Jr. and still had both. Maybe, but guess what? At this point last year, the Packers claimed Zane Anderson and, you know, they decided that they wanted him all last year. They kept him again this year. So who's to say that some other team wouldn't claim him this year? And that's the guy that they wanted to keep. So that's the guy that they should keep. And maybe Grant DuBose, you know, obviously we know Grant DuBose gets claimed. Maybe if you put DuBose on and Heath off, maybe Heath doesn't get claimed. But just those are impossible things to know without the benefit of hindsight. They made the best decision that they could at the time and you live with it, you move on. And again, I wish all those guys, like you said, the best of luck. And I think they're going to bring in some new guys to the practice squad, like an Omar Brown and some of the other ones. And hopefully those guys can step up and take the mantle from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was clear to me, and Maggie and I discussed this as well, is when they were debating their choices, and this wasn't always the case, right? There, you can probably poke holes in this argument, but I think for the most part, when they were debating, they went with the guys who are ready to play now, not the developmental projects. And I think it's a testament to where they feel this team is at and where they feel they should be going this season, which is not necessarily what you as a fan sitting at home would call an all-in season. But I think this is the Packers' version of all-in. They did not stick with the developmental guy. They went with they waived Kalen King, for example, right? He ended up coming back on the practice squad, but they went with Corey Ballantyne to stick with this example, right? Because he played last season. He played meaningful snaps, and they know that if he went out there and they needed him, he can play and they trust him. I think those were the choices that they ended up having to make. And again, I think it's just a testament and an indictment to where they think this team is and where they expect them to be in January and February.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And I'm with you. I think some of the moves that they made were clear and obvious moves to say, we don't have time to wait. We're trying to win right now. And we've got to go make some changes. The kicker position is not good enough. We need to make some changes. The backup quarterback position is not good enough. We need to make some changes. And they did that. I think it's smart. I'm excited where the roster is right now. Not a lot of holes on the team. Hopefully, you know, Braden Narveson, Malik Willis can fill those two big question marks that Green Bay really had in the preseason. But either way, it's going to be, I think, a really, really fun season to watch with all the depth and talent that this team has.
I agree with you.
All right. So we're going to go all the way back to the end of last year. Packers lose, unfortunately, to the 49ers in what was a really fun season up until now. And we're going to give out our off-season awards for the Green Bay Packers. It's been a hot segment. It's been from January through almost September, and there's been a lot that's happened. I will let you go first, but we will start with our first award of the evening, the offensive MVP of the offseason. Perry Goldstein, take it from here.
This one was the hardest one, and I love that we're doing it first. I think I have to give it to Romeo Doubs.
Ooh, I like it.
Because I had two other names, and I switched last minute.
Who are your runners up? I want to know your runners up.
Okay, you want me to give me you want my explanation, or do you want my runners up first?
Runners up, and then I want to hear your runners up, and then go to Romeo.
Runners up are Emmanuel Wilson and Bo Melton.
Okay.
But my award goes to Romeo Doubs for hit consistently over the course of the entire offseason. And I think it was more, those other two were more recency bias, which is why I switched, because you just jogged. It's for the entire offseason. Yep. He has just been the picture of consistency. The coaching staff, Jordan, everyone has only had consistently positive things to say about him. And I think you have high expectations for him going into the season. So offensive MVP, Romeo Doubs, hands Romeo Doubs.
Love it. I think that's a really smart answer. He's had a really good OTA mini camp, training camp, all the way through. Obviously didn't get a ton of opportunity, really any opportunity in preseason other than three snaps, I think, in that first game. But he did well in the joint practices. Like, he's just been, I think to your point, if you're looking for the word consistency, that's just Romeo Doubs. And I've talked about it a bunch, but the play that he makes at the pylon in red zone drills, he did it against the Ravens on a couple of different occasions in practice. He did it against the Packers defensive backs all over. He's just been a red zone machine. And I think that's a very worthy name to be at the top of the list. I'm going to go with the guy that you had as one of your runners up. I had Emmanuel Wilson as my guy. And I just think, first of all, I know obviously Josh Jacobs is the one we're so excited about, and rightfully so. He's going to be running back one. And Jacobs just had this perfect, like, you can tell he's a veteran. We're like, first couple days of practice and OTA mini camp, training camp, you could just tell he's just ramping up and not going. And then, like, as camp went, it was just getting better and better and better. And you could just tell he knew how to pace himself, and it was just a beautiful thing. But Emmanuel Wilson, I thought, had the most explosive dynamic runs of any running back throughout the offseason, and then goes out and earns a job again in preseason. And maybe part of that's due to the AJ Dillon injury. We'll never know if they would have kept four running backs or what. I don't care. It doesn't matter. He was very worthy of a 53-man roster spot. He was deserving of it. He was one of the best running backs in preseason. He did almost everything that they asked of him. I still think the blitz pickup and maybe some of the pass catching can improve a little bit, but talk about a player who made their name last year as a UDFA in his rookie season, you know, didn't get a ton of opportunity, then started to get a little bit more playing time towards the end of the year, comes around again. They draft Marshawn Lloyd in the third round. They get Josh Jacobs. AJ Dillon comes back, and you're just like, is this guy even going to have a spot? He didn't quit. He kept going. And I think he, again, is arguably the offensive MVP of the you know, training camp, OTA, preseason, et cetera. What's going on, everybody? We are inching closer and closer to pigskin season, and you can almost smell the return of football in the air. And I'm sure many of you, like me, are already getting set to put in your Survivor League picks, fantasy football lineups, first week pick'em pools, and of course, your prize pick selections. And to kick off football season, one Caleb Williams passing yard will get you one win on prize picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free wins. Don't miss this deal on prize picks because it's gone when September ends. And while you're making your selections, don't forget about flex play. Prize picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. Now, obviously, I will be going with Caleb Williams to start the season, but rest assured, I'll also be grabbing Josh Jacobs week one as well. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Yeah. When I first made this list, he was the first person that came to mind. And I think it's just watching someone work and work and work and earn their spot on this roster when it's not a given. It's really hard to overlook that, especially coming back from an injury, right? He got hurt and went down last season, and he was playing meaningful snaps in 2023. It was not a given that he would have a spot again. He was competing for essentially running back three this offseason. Sure, injuries may have bolstered it, but that does not take away from the amount of work and time and effort and energy that he puts in. And it's so clear with every run, with every rep. And I think he's an amazing story. And he's going to go into this season running back two, potentially week probably. One, probably with Marshawn Lloyd. He's not on IR, but he's hurt still. Just an incredible rise for a guy like Emmanuel Wilson.
Yeah, big time. Very well deserved. Excited to see what he can do with maybe some additional opportunities in year two. All right, number two, your defensive MVP.
I don't know where to go with this one. How many players can I choose? I mean, there's the obvious answers, then there's the more obscure answers. Can I go with the obvious?
Go for it. Do
it.
Is
that okay? Because you're the one that's at camp, right? So let's also caveat with this. Like, I get all of my information secondhand pretty much from you and Wes and Rob Domofsky and Matt Schneidman. Everyone's out there, right? But how could I not say Jair? Like, he just seems like he's back at full form, 100%. the Jair you expect, the all-pro cornerback. But I think more than that, what stood out to me is how much he's communicating and vibing with Jeff Hafley. And that's something we missed last season. He had an off season last year. Like, no, there's no denying that. And so to get him back, not only at 100% like physically, but also to get him there mentally as a leader, that really bodes well, I think, for that side of the ball. So I just have to go with the obvious answer.
I went with the obvious answer as well. I went with Jair Alexander. That's the number one name on my list. I did definitely think of some other ones. I'll talk about another one for another category later. But to me, that suspension last year could have gone in so many different directions. And we have seen stars throughout this league that have demanded trades from similar things that have sort of happened, that have checked out, that have, you know, whatever. It could have easily caused a rift between Jair and the organization. And the beautiful thing about it is, I really think Jair learned from it. I also think the Packers learned from it. And I think Matt LaFleur learned from it. And I think everyone came together. They were all better that it happened, that they went through it. And I think everyone came back extra motivated, extra excited. And I think we're seeing prime Jair right now. And that is a beautiful thing. We'll see what he can do in the regular season and if he can carry that over. But he's looked phenomenal in all parts of the offseason. And I am unbelievably excited for Jair in this defense with Jeff Hafley.
Me too.
I know. I knew you would be. Actually, when you said like the obvious one, I thought maybe you were going to go Rashawn Gary because he's had such a outstanding camp as well. So I thought you were going to go there. I know your affinity for corners. So definitely Jair was in the back of my mind as well. So I didn't know which way you were going to go, but certainly Rashawn would have been a worthy inclusion. Let's talk about the flip side. Your biggest disappointment of the offseason, and it can be, I mean, that again, that's a pretty wide open topic, but I'll let you go in any direction you want.
This one was hard because, again, we are very high on this roster. So there's not that many disappointments. I think for me, the biggest disappointment is seeing AJ Dillon go on season-ending IR and just having no closure on, like, where he's at with the team and what he could be and would he have made the 53 and what would he have been to this team. And Matt LaFleur had a lot of comments about like the role that he felt like he had carved out for him. So it feels like he would have made the 53, but now it doesn't feel like AJ is ever really going to play for the Packers again. I mean, we will see, but he's done for the season now. It's done. So that he comes back on this very odd contract and he's fighting for his spot and then it's just done. And the stinger too, it feels extra unfortunate because a neck injury, two neck injuries within a year is a little bit scary. And you worry about his health. Like that is also adds to the disappointment just for him as a player. And especially as a player who's so beloved in Green Bay, it's mutual love, right? He loves Green Bay. And he certainly came back, I think, because he wants to play for the Packers. So just all of it is just so unfortunate and so frustrating and so disappointing to me.
And I just hate to, like, he had this awesome offseason. He was looking, I think, better than he's ever looked. And you get one preseason opportunity, he gets four carries. There's nothing blocked for him. And of course, the whole conversation of is we don't even need to go through all of it. And it was not indicative of how he had played in camp the entire time. And then just as you're hoping that he gets another opportunity in the Ravens game, he ends up with an injury. And now you don't know what's going to happen other than the fact that you know he's done this year. And like you said, just no closure. It's a disappointing, the story's a bummer. You're disappointed maybe mostly for the person and the health of him and you know what he can, you know, hopefully recover and get back to where he was. But the whole thing is certainly a level of disappointing. No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go in a different direction. And this is an interesting way to sort of think of this as per usual for me. I'm going with the rookie class, but not because of anything that they've necessarily done wrong. And in fact, even with this being a disappointment, you have two players, Javon Bullard, who's probably going to be the starter, and Evan Williams, who's been an absolute stud. And Jacob Monk has made some progress as well. But just like, I think this is a really good, talented class. And we just were left wanting so much more, in large part due to the injuries. Jordan Morgan missed a huge part of the end of these last couple weeks with injury. Edgerrin Cooper's been out all of training camp with injury. Bullard, like I said, has been great. Marshawn Lloyd misses a ton of time with injury. Tyron Hopper misses the first, month-ish or at least a few weeks with injury, and then finally comes back in the last couple of weeks. Williams has been unbelievable. Monk's been solid. Oladapo misses all OTAs, mini camps, the first half of training camp with injury. And then it's just, you can tell, playing catch up and is just basically redshirting at this point. Travis Glover's probably a redshirt player. Michael Pratt cut and completely gone. And Kalen King cut and back on the practice squad. So I think Morgan is going to be a starter at some point. I think the world of Edgerrin Cooper and think he's just probably not even scratching the surface of what he can become. Bullard's going to start from day one. Williams is going to be a stud. Like, there's a lot to be excited about this draft class. It's just, I was hoping to see so much more of them and have them be so much further along. And sometimes the worst thing that can happen to young players who are trying to get their feet wet in the NFL and gain confidence is injuries. And it's just been unfortunate that, like, for a team that has been, knock on wood, pretty, clear of injuries for the most part this offseason, it's just been like almost all of them have been in the rookie class. So to me, that's been the biggest disappointment, not the class, not what Goody's done, not the players, just the unfortunate circumstances of it more than anything.
The injuries themselves. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, and none of them are season ending. None of them are serious. They just are these tiny setbacks.
Nagging, annoying things is all it is.
Like, especially glaring when it is the rookie class and you're so excited after the draft and you can't wait to see them and they're finally in the building and you just want to see what they got and you want to see them amongst the rest of the players, and especially on the defense with the new defensive coordinator, and then you don't get to see them at all. I mean, that's at least especially how I felt with Edgerrin Cooper. But the good news is that there's so much time and none of them are serious.
Yep.
So we will get them back, and maybe it's almost better that the bar is a little lower because we were so high on them after the draft. And I think sometimes the worst thing you can do for players is have the bar set so high and have your expectations be so high, and then they disappoint you in that way. So now it's just, now we get to see what they got, and that's it.
I love your positivity, Perry Goldstein, and I will fall in line and I will agree with you and say that is a great way to look at it. And hopefully the best is yet to come, which I know it is. And like I said, I'm still very excited about this draft class. It's just been like those nagging, disappointing injuries that's been the biggest thing. Your biggest offseason surprise.
How much time we spent on the kickers? How much time have we spent talking about kickers? Like, no part of me going into this offseason thought that we would spend so much of our brain power and our energy and our time talking about the kicking competition. And I am saying this in jest, but like, in reality, it's not a good thing that we spent this much time on it. Someone should have broken away. Nobody did. And then at the end of the offseason, all of them are gone. Someone new is in, and we are still talking about the kickers. We are 1 week away from the season. It's a problem.
It's a problem. definitely surprised that we've had to spend that much time on it. And like, again, six different kickers this offseason. We're on kicker number six. Like, that is not a normal scenario and situation for an offseason. So I'm with you. I agree with you as well. I went the release of Aaron Jones, and I know this one kind of fits another category a little bit later as well, but I don't usually go like super high or super far on like the hot take / lock it in, because I'm always pretty aware of like, hey, anything can happen here. Like, I tweeted out end of last year, I'm like, lock it in. Aaron Jones is not going anywhere. He is a Green Bay Packer. He was running so well in the playoffs. He just looked like Aaron Jones. There was that connection with the team. He was like Matt LaFleur on how many different occasions called him the heartbeat of the locker room and the heartbeat of the team. Like, everything was pointed to the point where the Packers signed Josh Jacobs, and still where it should have probably been obvious of like, oh, this could be an issue for Aaron Jones. So I'm like, wow, it's going to be really interesting to see Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones in the same backfield at the same time. I wonder how that's going to look. I still, after they signed after the announcement of Josh Jacobs, still could not get my mind to be like, they're not going to release Aaron Jones. That's certainly not going to happen. So let's see how this works. And then, of course, the news came quick after that the Packers were in fact going to release Aaron Jones. And it was, of course, no surprise at all that he ends up in the division, because that is just how the rules work when somebody is gone from the Green Bay Packers, that they must go inside the division. But that still to me is the biggest offseason surprise.
You know, it's been so long since that happened that I
you blocked it out of your mind already. I don't blame you at all. I think we all have tried to, but yeah, it still is such an interesting scenario and one that I'm still curious to see how it plays out. How does Aaron play in Minnesota and how does Josh play in Green Bay? And that's one of those things that's going to be really unique to kind of keep an eye on through the course of the season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And unfortunately, Aaron's going to be someone that the Packers see twice the season. And so it's going to be right in our faces.
Yeah, no, it very much will be. All right. Favorite new addition.
It's the obvious choice. It's Xavier McKinney. talk about way back in the early offseason. This is still the best move they made this offseason. You can talk about the rookies all you want and the draft picks and the this and the that. No, the Packers went out. They got the best safety available in free agency, one of the best safeties in the league. They probably are going to end up getting him for a steal. He fits perfectly in this new defense. He already feels like he meshes exceptionally well with the team, with the locker room. I think at times I almost forget this. He hasn't played a snap for this team yet. Yeah. That's like how well it feels like he's like just been on this team. I cannot wait to watch him play finally. And I think we could spend probably episodes. I mean, you've already done episodes on like what he's going to look like in this defense. So we don't have to go over it too much, but absolutely unequivocally, like the Packers have always been the bridesmaid, not the bride when it comes to the big name free agents. And this year they were the bride and the groom is Xavier McKinney.
I love the way that you put that. I think the only other options here, Josh Jacobs, of course, but I think McKinney's the more, you know, probably exciting of the two and the more obvious choice of the two. The only one, Jeff Hafley, would have, I think, been a little bit in this conversation for me as well. But to me, it's Xavier McKinney. You put it perfectly. We don't need to go over it anymore. And next one is most disappointing departure. You know mine already. I just said Aaron Jones, which we just talked about, a biggest offseason surprise. But to me, still would have loved to have seen him back. I get the decision. I'm not upset about Josh Jacobs. I'm excited to see what Jacobs can do. But there's not many departures on this offseason as a whole that I'm disappointed on. The only one for me that really fits this is Aaron Jones.
Yeah, this is where I would put Aaron Jones too. Unless you want to say David Bakhtiari. You know, I that's actually what I thought of here. Just because, again, someone who is probably going to be in the Packers Hall of Fame and has just had like one of the worst endings to a Packers career I can remember in such a long time. And again, just like so beloved and such a figure, like Bach to me, and again, I'm much younger than probably most of the listeners here, but like Bach is just like, to me, always been on this team. He's just, it's been 12 and 69 for as long as I can remember. And it's still weird to me. It was still weird to me not seeing 69 out at left tackle. And I think it's going to stay weird for quite a while.
Yeah. No, he's definitely considered. I think the only reason I didn't really consider it is just because it felt like the writing was on the wall.
Of
like
course.
That was going to happen. But yes, you're 1,000,000% right.
I think writing on the wall doesn't, like, that's why I didn't put it in surprising, but it's writing on the wall doesn't departure. Take away from disappointment.
Yeah. No,
that's the way well it ended. Yeah.
Let's go to the positive side again. Your most impressive rookie.
Oh man, there was a few of them, but I feel like two stood out the most. So I'm curious to hear which one you chose.
I did Evan Williams. I did Evan Williams.
Okay, I had Evan Williams too, but my second was Tyrone Hopper. I know he played a little bit less, but I mean, I feel like it has to be Evan Williams. Like he's so solid. And I going into this offseason, everyone assumed and expected it's going to be Javon Bullard next to Xavier McKinney. And more than likely, it will be Javon Bullard next to Xavier McKinney to start the season. But that does not take away from the fact that Evan Williams stood out when he played. Like, very, to me, when I watched him play, he stood out as a guy who will see meaningful snaps this season and could potentially start at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, and not by no means like is that me saying he's going to overtake Javon Bullard? No, I'm saying like, in this new backfield, there's going to be a rotation. Jeff Hafley is going to use them in various different ways. And at some point, they're going to need Evan Williams' skill set in a way that's different. They could move Javon Bullard into the slot and they're both on the field at the same time. That's what I mean.
Yeah, five interceptions in training camp, all over the field. Just a big time playmaker, was steady. There, of course, there can be things that he can do better, but consistent, constantly making plays, just everything that you could possibly want for a fourth round rookie safety coming into his first season. Just massively impressive. And really, I think they will find ways to get him on the field because he's been that good. And I don't think you just want to have him sitting on the bench. He's too good of a player to do that. So I think we will see some of Bullard in the slot. One, because I think there's ways to do that against certain personnel groups, but two, in an effort, in a way to get Evan Williams on the field in those situations. All right. Your biggest offseason storyline.
You should go first for this one.
All right, so I could have gone two ways. My initial thought was going to be Jeff Hafley and bringing him on as defensive coordinator and just the entire change of the defense, but it has to be Jordan Love's contract. I mean, not only did he get the highest paid, you know, contract in the NFL, but there was also a holdout, you know, a hold in for a little bit where he was not at training camp for the first few days, which was definitely a story in and of itself. And so, yeah, I think when you've got a quarterback that is just coming off his first year as a starter, gets the biggest contract in NFL history and a massive signing bonus and the huge investment from the Packers, you had this holdout, even if it was a very short-lived. We're not talking Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams-esque here. But yeah, I think overall, still to me, the biggest storyline of the offseason and deserved contract in the end, and excited to see what Love can do moving forward as the highest paid player for however long that lasts.
Yeah, for however long that lasts. Dak's up next. So I had, the reason why I wanted you to go first is because I actually had the Love extension as my favorite moment of preseason of all camp, but it was the biggest storyline also. It's just both. I think it could have been a bigger storyline than it was because they got it done early. I was trying to think of something that was a storyline that was so pervasive over the course of the entire offseason. And the only thing that was the kickers.
Yeah.
the only thing that was consistent over the course of the entire offseason was the kickers. Now, naturally, of course, Jordan Love getting his contract is the biggest storyline, but it was also my favorite moment of the offseason. Like, to lock up the quarterback this way, to be done that early, I will say, early in camp, absolutely nowhere near the start of the season. It was, to your point, not a Brandon Ayuk situation, not a CeeDee Lamb situation. It was done and dusted. He is locked in. Everyone is happy. He was still at camp, right? He wasn't in California. He was there. The Packers have their quarterback of the future once again for however long this lasts. Just absolutely incredible work.
It's been really, really fun. And it was the biggest storyline, but also the, you know, one of the biggest success stories of the Packers is just, you know, they go from Favre to Rodgers to Jordan Love. And it's a pretty freaking incredible thing. So, well, again, we'll see what he can do moving forward. And he's going to go earn that contract now, but I have very little doubt that he will go and do that. And that's going to be the fun part of this season, is seeing how Jordan Love does again in year two. So that was also your favorite moment of camp / pre or favorite moment of the off season. I have two quick ones here. Aaron Mosby in the final game to get the sack fumble that leads to the touchdown, to get the interception following that. That third preseason game, there's always seems to be a player who goes out, makes a name for themselves, and kind of earns a roster spot. And those are always cool stories. And I felt like he goes out, he gets the forced fumble that leads to a touchdown, gets the interception as a massive game, and out of it gets a 53-man roster spot. Would he have got it anyway? Who's to know? But it certainly didn't hurt. And that was a really cool way for him to end his preseason as he ended up making the 53. And then the other, I think it was the final play of training camp, not against the Ravens, where they're doing a red zone drill at the end and Love throws over the middle and it gets batted up and Elgton Jenkins comes down with it. And there's a huge scrum between the defense and the offense. And it's like a tug of war of whether or not Elton's going to get in the end zone. And Elton would not stop chugging. And he just gets in the end zone and everyone goes absolutely nuts. And that was like the last play outside of the Ravens practice of training camp that Elgton Jenkins gets a touchdown catch. And it was just this beautiful, amazing final moment of kind of camp. So I'm very cool with how that ended. And that was just such a fun moment. So those are my two.
I forgot about the Elton touchdown. That's, yeah, that's a good one. I hope Matt can scheme up something for him in the season.
Yeah, obviously. Weapon. He's like probably weapon number four of all the weapons on the offense, but he's certainly in the conversation. All right, your most surprising player of the offseason.
So you actually just mentioned him, but it's Aaron Mosby.
I love it.
Yeah, I think there's tons of guys you can go with. I also had Jacob Monk on this list as my most surprising. He could also be, I might do my most improved, although there's not much, I don't know, improvement. He's rookie. But just in terms of guys that really came in and you have obviously next to no expectations. And for them, especially Aaron Mosby, to just kind of go out, like you said, not really anything additional to add, just like really show up and show out and battle and have just an absolute boss showing in that last game and really prove why he deserves to be on this team to the point where they are keeping more edge rushers than I ever expected them to. And they're doing it because both him and Brandon Cox Jr. deserve to be on this team based on the way that they played. And that freaking rocks. It rocks for players like this. I love, you know, you and I have tweeted a little bit. Everyone does always about like the UDFAs that make this team and the opportunities that guys like that get. And it's very special. It's a very special thing that Green Bay just is. It's just a place where these players get the chance. And I just love that. And Aaron Mosby had such a fun game to watch, the strip sack, the interception. And now he's on 53.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about Green Bay is they're going to give people opportunities. It doesn't matter if you are picked up at the end of camp. You have the opportunity to make a name for yourself. If you are a UDFA, you have every opportunity to go out and make a roster. And I think that's a really cool thing. And Green Bay's shown that for the last, you know, few decades at this point. I had two people on my list. I'll kind of split it one way, half one on offense, one on defense. Kadeem Telford on offense. I really liked him as a UDFA last year. You know, he was obviously extremely raw, spent the entire year on the preseason, but you kind of go in and, you know, you're looking at offensive tackle, Rashid Walker, Zach Tom, they go get Jordan Morgan as a tackle initially. And then, you know, you've got Andre Dillard that they bring in, Caleb Jones, Luke Tenuta are coming back, and you're looking at Kadeem Telford and you're like, man, I don't even know if this guy's going to have a chance at a practice squad in year two. And he goes out, and not only that, he like earns an easy, not easy, but definitive 53-man roster decision towards the end, and might be even a guy that's active on game days as somebody who can play both, you know, tackle positions, even some guard. And I think he's really started to kind of come into his own the more and more reps that he's getting. So I thought that was a really cool one. And then the other one too, Green Bay is an extremely young team. And for some reason, they decide to bring back this 30-year-old journeyman special teams linebacker in Eric Wilson. And out of nowhere, you're just kind of thinking, yeah, I mean, he's going to be a core special teamer if he makes the team, great or whatever. But like, he's like, he hasn't played really any defense in years like that. You know, it's great that he can fill in here and there, but he just goes out and earns a starting job in your base defense. And he's like legitimately earned it kind of out of nowhere. Like, I'm sure that is so rejuvenating to him for a player that's, it's been a hot second since he's actually got to play defense and not just special teams with any level of consistency. And now Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, they may take that spot within a short period of time, but just kind of a cool, like, hey, this guy got basically 1 year vet minimum deal to be a special teams guy and went out and earned a starting linebacker job. So kudos to him as well. I think both of those are kind of cool stories.
No, those are both really good ones. And I mean, Eric Wilson is such a fun, it is such a fun story. And like watching him make the team is probably why Christian Welch didn't make the team too, in that choice that they made to bring him back. So all really tough choices, but the fact that we have so many that we could go through of like just surprising players who showed up is it's just also a testament to their scouting abilities as well.
No, very much so. And that's something that they do an incredible job on, not only on the, and this is a great example, right? Not only the draft picks, but the UDFAs like a Kadeem Telford, but also the veteran guy. They got Eric Wilson off of the Saints practice squad at some point. What was it, last year or maybe the year before that? I forget now, but like just out of nowhere, Eric Wilson, practice squad guy, they bring him in and he just goes in and has an immediate impact. So really great job by this front office of finding guys like that in all areas. And no matter where you are, they will find you and they will, you know, and this team shows that it can develop those players as well. All right, we got two left. Most improved player. I will start with you.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to give Bill Huber the shout out on this one. Bill Huber did a great article at the end of camp of like his top six players in training camp, something to that effect. Go check out the article. And I was going through it. And a lot of times I don't read these, but he did it in a way that was like very creative. I'm like, I wonder what he did. And he had Rashid Walker at number one. And at first I did like a double take. I'm like, Rashid Walker was your player of camp. And then I really started thinking about it. And I think he's 1,000,000% right. Obviously, I didn't put him as like my MVP or whatever, but Rashid, I thought started last year and had some struggles at the beginning of the year. And then by the end of the year, I really thought he came into his own and was like a legitimate starting offensive tackle. And then they draft Jordan Morgan as a left tackle. And you're just kind of thinking, it's like, is Rashid going to be a swing tackle going into this year? And you didn't even know if he was going to have a starting spot. And it was like very early on where it was just like over. Like Rashid's going to be the left tackle. And then he really got to the point where it was just like, I'm not saying it's completely just like set it and forget it yet, but like nobody was really getting around him. And like, he was just Mr. Consistency and stonewalling everyone and like really took that step. And then Matt LaFleur talked about him of how like the attention to detail is so much better. The amount of tape that he's watching, like he's really become a pro's pro. And I really think that like the difference between even, you know, the extremely inconsistent Rashid we saw at the beginning of last year to the solid and mostly okay Rashid at the end of last year to what I think he can be now is a really impressive testament to Rashid Walker. And I'm going with him as my most improved player.
I love that. I love that because he also has faced such an uphill battle in terms of like perception too. When you've had such a, I mean, I just mentioned David Bakhtiari earlier this episode of just a solid Green Bay Hall of Fame level, like left tackle in that position for as long as anyone can remember. And then you get thrown in there when you likely shouldn't have been playing. I mean, no one expected you to play. You were a very late round draft pick and you have to develop on the fly. I mean, you were drafted likely to develop behind somebody, behind one of the best. And then, I mean, it's this league we just talked about. The depth here, you never know when you're going to have to go in and play. And he had to develop on the fly and it didn't always look pretty and it wasn't always consistent. And over the course of last season, there were games where you were like, oh gosh, there's no way that this guy is going to be the left tackle of the future. And then there were games where like, okay. Yeah. He looks good, you know? And you know, sometimes you got to give guys the grace and the space to get there. Clearly not every position gets the grace and the space in Green Bay.
Not quicker and sometimes not quarterback. No.
But when you show enough, like Rashid has, then you do. And, you know, I'll take it because you've been there. Clearly he has had the upward trajectory and they feel strongly enough for him to start. Now, we don't know how long that's going to be, right? They did draft Jordan Morgan, but to watch somebody, like I said, who is just a late round draft pick who was never expected to start, get to where he's at, it's pretty incredible.
Yep. Very much.
I am curious your thoughts because, again, I'm not there. So it's just based on what I see and also the preseason games. But I kind of want to give the nod to Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see him in games. I think with more snap count and more playing time, he could really get there. I think there's still a lot of improvement, like just technique wise, but he's playing against backups and he's playing with backups. So he should look like the best player in preseason games, but I really feel like he's coming into his own as a player. It's his second year. He feels more confident and comfortable in his speed and the skill sets that he has. And I think paired next to, you know, the Carl Brooks and the Colby Wooden and the Devontae Wyatts, like I really do feel like he's going to be a huge asset for this team this year. And under Jeff Hafley, I think he can really spread his wings and develop nicely. And I love that he's going to be edge three. This is a very like Rashawn Gary type development here. And I think it's perfect for a guy like him, right? Because he didn't start at Iowa. He doesn't need to start here. Like I said before, he still has like some technique and some hand motions and just a lot of like he is like kind of Rashawn Gary. He just like kind of rushes and there's no thought process behind it. But I think if he can hone it and you can see him starting to get there, then he's going to be really dangerous.
Yeah, there's two things that you said that I think are really, really smart. So I think, first of all, I think he is very much more comfortable in year two. You can definitely see that he is a little bit more confident, a little bit more aggressive. And I think those things are going to pay off for him. And then the other thing is, I think he very much feels a lot more comfortable as a hand in the dirt 4-3 yeah. defensive end than a stand-up guy. So I think those things are going to help him a ton. I will say, I do think from a technique standpoint, and you were obviously mentioning this as well, I still think he has a long ways to go. I was hoping he was a little bit further along at this point. The two things you get with LVN every single time are unbelievable traits and unbelievable effort. And unbelievable traits and unbelievable effort will get you a lot. Now it just needs to be, can he put a pass rush plan together? At the end of last year, he started using a long arm a little bit more. I would like to see a little bit more of that. You can't just bull rush through everyone in the NFL. We know. So you have to have a plan. Can he get a spin move going? Can he get something going that's a counter to what he's doing? Can he get some sort of Euro step or a counter, whatever it might be? I just want to see a little bit more of nuance there, but I do think he does feel more comfortable. And I do think he's playing a little bit more aggressive with his hand in the dirt. All right. Last but not least, and we're going to get out of here. Your biggest reason for optimism.
There's so many. This team has the foundation set. And I think I said it earlier when I was talking about like that 50,000 foot view. And look, this league is not won on rosters on paper and foundations, but you have to start there. And I think that when you're going into the season with the foundation that they have, you have the quarterback, you have the weapons at wide receiver, at tight end, at running back. I feel a lot better about the offensive line now than I did at the beginning of this offseason, which was one of the major question marks. You have the playmakers on the defensive side of the ball that you need at edge, at corner, at safety, hopefully at inside linebacker, but we haven't seen it yet, but that's the hope. You have to put it together. They have to put it together, but they showed in 2023 that they could in the second half of the season. You have the foundation set. Now they just have to go build on it. And I have every confidence in the world that they can, because again, they showed that they could, and they arguably were a worse team last year, I think, on paper.
Yep.
So the momentum's got to keep going. And I think the momentum's good. Like the vibes, sorry to use vibes. The vibes are high. Vibes are high. Everything's set. They have to go execute. They're in a great position to go do it, but they have to go execute on it now. All the confidence in the world that they will.
You and I went in a very similar direction here. I just put, they're young, they're talented, they're healthy, and they're hungry. That's it. That's a great recipe for success in the NFL. You're young, you're talented, you're healthy, you're hungry. Sign me up for a team like that every single year, and you're going to have a pretty darn good puncher's chance to make some noise in the postseason if everything comes together the way that it's supposed to. So I wish I had like this like crazy thing of like, well, I think, you know, this is going exactly that. Like, we haven't seen this scheme yet on either side of the ball. It's been very vanilla, but I know the type of players that they have developed. I know the type of players that Goody has brought in. I know the way that this team thinks, like how they're wired, and they've got all the key ingredients for a successful season. And that's what gives me optimism at the end of the day, is they've got the right players at the right positions to be successful. Now it's just putting it together, going out and doing it and having that level of season.
Can I just add too, like, we never mentioned this and I feel like I do him a disservice, because look, games are won when players go and execute plays, but like, the Packers have one of the best coaches in the league. We just like never, ever, ever give Matt LaFleur his flowers. And at the end of the year, for the last four seasons now, I'm always like, Matt should be up for coach of the year. And again, this year, I'm going to put a future bet on Matt being coach of the year, depending on where the Packers land at the end of the season. So I'm just going to also add that, yes, they have all the tools. They have all the players. They have the right mentality. The team was rostered appropriately because of Goot and because of Matt. Like, Matt deserves a ton of credit for where this team is at too. So always add Matt in there.
That's a better answer, honestly, than either of our first ones. Like, Matt is a great reason for optimism for this season. He deserves so much credit. He is one of the best coaches in the league. Green Bay is so lucky to have him at the helm. And I think this is setting up to be maybe his best season yet. So I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. All right. So before you go and download the Autograph app, Perry, tell us any final thoughts, where we can follow you, Packs What She Said, anything else you want to talk about.
Oh, man. Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at @Perry_Goldstein. You can follow the podcast, more importantly, at PWSS Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube. You can subscribe to us on Spotify if you love our work. We love that. Maggie and I are back with Cheesehead TV. We've been back with Cheesehead TV for this whole off season, and we will be with Cheesehead TV during this regular season. We are back to our twice a week episodes. So our next episode, guys, is our week one preview. Real football. It's amazing. If you can't tell, I'm so excited. So we'll be back with our previews and our recap shows. We will be back with our guests. So I'm super pumped. Super pumped.
That's awesome. You guys do an incredible job. Make sure to follow them over on the Packs What She Said podcast. And of course, Perry at @Perry_Goldstein. You can follow us at Packaday Podcast. You can follow me at Handy Herman NFL. That is going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.